You're listening to Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken on the Tangent Bound Network.
Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken.
This is going to be quite a ride.
Hey, Jim! Boom! That's a bad outfit! Boom!
I love you.
Me too, man. Hit me! My turn! Am I the meanest?
Sure enough!
Am I the prettiest?
Sure enough!
Am I the baddest mofo no down around this town?
Sure enough!
Well, who am I?
Sure enough!
The Shogun of Harlem.
For what lies ahead, ready are you?
We're police officers. We're not trained to handle this kind of violence.
Hey, Geeksters, I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And you found Geek Watch 1.
Welcome back, Geeksters, issue 111 of Geek Watch 1. And
you just lost. We're a little too relaxed, apparently.
I know. This is nice. This summer has been nice that we've been able to do some relaxed shows and just have conversations.
Right.
So, but what have you guys been up to this week? Anything crazy?
Crazy?
Well, I mean, it feels like it's been 1993 all over again for me this week. So,
okay.
Which is good.
93?
I mean,
is that a good year?
It's hers.
Oh, do you put that up? Okay. The Wonder Woman t-shirt or whatever, Proud Immigrant?
I bought that t-shirt. It arrived this week.
Oh, nice.
It's Wonder Woman, says Proud Immigrant. I was like, that's my t-shirt.
that's what we were talking about on our Wonder Woman show, but that's what made me fall off the couch when I heard people complaining that Wonder Woman wasn't American enough.
I'm like, but she's not American.
She's not patriotic enough.
But
these are people who have only seen Wonder Woman in the 70s TV show.
But yeah. Even then, she's from Paradise
classic,
Island.
Classic costume has been red, white, and blue. It's true.
Yeah.
Right.
But that doesn't
but
mean
that was
she
also,
has to be American
that,
to wear
that
it.
That classic costume was created during World War II when this was part of the propaganda stuff, too.
Exactly.
The comic
right.
books were part of the propaganda
exactly.
war
right.
against Germany.
Well, true. Mm-hmm. But Paradise Island does not belong to the United States.
No.
I'm just saying.
If anything, you would say she's kind of Greek?
Yeah.
Kind of Greek.
Yeah. She's kind of Greek.
Or Roman or something?
She's a Greek-Roman hybrid.
Yeah.
She's...
So...
But anyway, the other thing I got this week was a My Little Demon or Demon Pony calendar that our friend Heather Kreider, she does all the Demon Ponies that are kind of her spin on My Little Pony, but...
Yeah.
It's awesome. Dark demon way.
They're different enough that Hasbro knows about her and haven't done anything about it.
Right.
She wins awards for that.
Yeah.
Yep,
Hasbro's actually giving her awards for fan stuff.
Yes, and she's been to, I think she's been to like the official My Little Pony cons and stuff like that
yeah.
with her stuff too. So it's
Just
awesome.
That the fire one that won the award last year.
Right. Right.
Last year.
And they've got she does all sorts of stuff. She does the art, she has cards, she has t-shirts, she has bags, and she has plushies for a lot of her
yeah.
ponies, which is awesome. She does Kickstarters all the time. She's got a Kickstarter coming next year again. She just did had the samples done for, I think, the three demons that she's offering.
Mm-hmm.
She just got some of them back to look at, and she says they're at about 90%. They're almost perfect on the first run.
Yeah.
So that's going to be next year. It's I believe it's Shaman Studios.
Mm-hmm.
She goes
I think
by.
So, yeah.
But
if you
yeah,
can put My Little Demons or My Little yeah,
yeah
My Little Demons,
My Little
you'll
Demon,
find them.
It'll come up. Heather
yeah.
Kreider.
Actually, my favorite is one of her older ones. It's I think a red pony with black, and it's like a devil or something almost.
Yeah, Santana.
It was one of the first Santana. That
yeah.
one is awesome.
Yeah, that's one. That is one of her early ones. She has such a huge collection. She has the ones that I really like that I actually have the plushies of. There's a couple of. Essentially octopus versions.
Yeah.
That
what
I
is
have,
it, Inky Poo or something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, I have the octopus, I have the plushie versions, I have a bag of one of them, I have, so, and I, like, if you know me, you know I really don't like My Little Pony. So,
yeah.
but, you know, this is cool stuff, and so she has just come out with the calendar, she was doing pre-orders on it, which is why I got it already, But she'll have it, you know, obviously through the rest of the year. Any shows you see her at, she'll have the calendar. And it's awesome. Every month you get a different piece of art. One of the reasons I got it was because one of her newest ones is in there called Jive Turkey. And it's a pony with a big afro and totally disco pony. And it's for the month of November, which is Kylan's birthday. So
our very own Jive Turkey gets his own demon pony.
Exactly. Right, it just seemed appropriate that he'd have Jive Turkey in November. So yeah. So
they really need to bring that word back.
you
which
never,
one, Jive or Turkey?
The phrase.
Yes.
You've never not used that phrase.
I know. I still use it, but I mean like in a general. No,
that's because Kylan in his head is a cast member in one of those old blaxploitation films.
Yeah,
that's just
much.
Who he is.
That's every day.
Well, you know,
Kylan lives it every day.
You
have no idea how happy he is. The Gong Show's back. I mean, it really.
I have not seen that. I've heard it's back, but is it any good?
He just misses Gene Gene the Dancing Machine.
I do miss Gene Gene the Dancing Machine.
Okay,
rest
can I just say we made it through 10 minutes of one episode. That's it.
Kylan, did you make it through more of that?
I could have gone through more, but Don.
But no. The second act where a woman put a tarantula in her mouth, that was enough.
Okay, that is true. That was a little much.
They do have, they have the giant gong. They have a celebrity panel. It had, the first one had Will Arnett and Galifianakis and
Kim Jong.
Kim Jong. He was on Community and the Hangover.
And Dr. Ken.
And Dr. Ken, yeah. So he was on, but the thing is, the host, I forget his name, Maitland?
Yes,
Maitland.
Something like that. I was going to ask about that because I know what that
is. The host is, it's not really a host. You watch it and tell me who it is because I know who it is.
It's been advertised pretty widely. Everybody, I think, knows at this point.
And it's, you know, Tommy Maitland now in his first appearance from the UK and forget it. It's Mike Myers, and we all know it's Mike Myers.
That's great, though. Is it a good character?
It's a decent character. You can't tell on the look that it's him.
No.
But every minute or so, the way he says things,
yeah,
it's Austin Powers. Like,
that's what I was expecting, kind of, when I heard this.
If you close your eyes, it's the accent and everything. You will picture Austin Powers, and when you open your eyes, it's not him. You'll know who it is.
Yeah.
So...
Who's a cheeky monkey?
Yeah, he calls people cheeky monkeys. Yeah, so that gives it away right there.
But so the whole show feels like it's from the 70s still?
It's got the corniness. It's got the people who think they have talent vibe.
This summer.
I just hope that they get somebody that's going to do the popsicle thing again. I remember watching that when I was a kid, and I'm like, why is this such a big deal? But when I got older...
What was it? Two girls?
Two girls.
Early 20s. Licking popsicles. There was an act. Yeah.
Now, when I was a kid, Gong Show used to be on early afternoon, on a Saturday. So I remember watching this when I was a kid.
Well, this was also the prime of network television game shows.
Yeah,
was back when the Gong Show came out.
Right, and I didn't get it. I just remember
you just
the
wanted
judges.
A popsicle.
And I remember the judges being really into it. I'm like, they must really like popsicles too. But once I got older, and I'm like,
that's an infamous one. You can find that on YouTube. You can find that clip on YouTube.
Yeah.
Now, in case anybody doesn't know, this is a game show. But basically, this was the kind of the original version of America's Got Talent, really, wasn't it?
Kind of the original downgraded version. Because it was like people who have these like stupid human tricks. Well, America's Got Talent actually has some more talented people. I mean, they actually, you know, screen these people for watchability.
Yeah.
Right. At least.
Puddles of Clown was just on it.
Yeah, see, it just...
Yeah.
You'll actually get something decent, but...
Yeah, I mean, you had the unknown comic who got a movie out of...
And this was a comic who wore a bag over his head.
Wore a bag over his head. And I remember loving the unknown comic. It seemed like he had really bad jokes. Maybe that's the reason why I like really bad jokes now.
The Gong Show's to blame.
I think that's what it is. But then he had a movie.
Yeah.
I think it was the unknown comic movie
or something.
So,
you know, if you like...
I wasn't
old
enough for it.
Horrible comedic moments and... just kind of stupid comedy, you might enjoy The Gong Show. I don't think it's going to last very long, really.
Well, it's not scheduled to, usually, because it's this summer. If you watch, at least the major four networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox, have, like, embraced the game show for the summer.
Yeah.
They brought back a lot of the old 60s and 70s and 80s game shows. Like, I think the $10,000 or $10 million pyramid's back.
Yeah. What?
That just mean that they just can't come up with their own ideas and they're pulling out of the bottle?
No, like, yeah, well, yeah. You don't have to write it.
That's why they're doing remakes of all the movies. Yeah.
Back in the 70s and 80s.
And they get rid of the actual good new stuff.
Yeah.
But 70s and 80s were just remakes of stuff from the 40s and 50s.
Yeah. True.
So,
you didn't see on air.
TV goes on cycles. That's the way it is. Everybody knows it.
So. They've got this new, what is it with... It's not with Jamie Foxx, is it?
Yeah, Jamie Foxx.
The Shazam one?
Yeah.
That's Name That Tune.
Exactly. Well, some of them, they've not even changed the name. They just updated the game. Some of them, they've just changed the name of it.
And then they're making game shows out of idiotic computer games, like Candy Crush. There's a freaking game show.
I saw that.
No, just keep it on the damn computer.
I've never watched any of them, but...
Yeah, I don't watch them. I'm not a game show person anyway. Like, I get so mad at people on game shows, I don't watch them.
I still love Jeopardy. I do.
There's a level of intelligence to it.
There's
a reason that Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy, and Price is Right has been on television for like 30 or 40 years consistently.
True. Right.
Although at least now I can actually answer the questions on Jeopardy. I remember being a kid, I'm like, there's no way, I don't know.
Well, that's true.
There's not enough information to answer that.
That's how you learn things, though, by watching
Jeopardy. That's true. That was true, you know. When Potpourri come up, I'd be like, Potpourri! And all of a sudden, like, I was starting to feel anxiety.
At least now, though, they have geek categories every once in a while.
That's true.
But that causes us to yell at the TV screen when people don't know the answers. Because they're sometimes the most obvious... kind of, and you're just like, what the hell's wrong with you? Or they give the wrong... There was one where it was supposed to be a team or something, and, like, one of them said Avengers, one of them said Justice League. Like, it was another team that was obvious. I forget which team, but they were saying all the wrong teams.
Was it, what team was Wolverine on?
Yeah, it might have been something like that. Like, it was...
No, it was Human Torch, and they said what team was... That's true.
Fantastic Four, and then one person said...
Justice League, and I'm like, yeah!
And the other one said Avengers.
Oh, it was Avengers. Another person just didn't answer.
Yeah, they didn't want to. Yeah,
they didn't want to look dumb.
No,
it's like, come on, that
and
one's
I'm
not.
Like,
yeah, that's a because that's an old team. That's
yeah.
an
old.
I don't think you have to be a geek to know that. There's certain things, but yeah.
There's been how many movies of Fantastic Four? If you don't know, anyway.
Well, really, there's only been four.
Still,
that have actually been on TV. or broadcast anywhere.
But how many cartoons have there been?
Oh, yeah, they've been...
It's not like they're an unknown team.
No,
The cartoons go all the way back to the 60s.
See?
But, yeah, there we go.
So that's game shows for this summer.
It's been a week.
Yeah. Another thing that actually dropped this week that I was shocked by how good it looked was the Jumanji trailer.
Yes.
And Kylan's t-shirt reminded me of it, even though that's not Jumanji. But it is another... thing that the Rock is going to be supposed to be doing.
Adventureland, yes. That's right.
The adventure, or the Jungle River Run, or whatever.
Jungle Cruise.
Because that's actually supposed to, Disney's supposed to be making that into a movie.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Well, you know
with
what?
The Rock.
I love the Jungle Cruise.
The Rock's going to be in all sorts of, like, similar movies. You've got Jumanji, then you'll have Jungle Cruise, and you'll have...
Doc Savage.
They'll all be Jungle movies.
But I love the Jungle Cruise. That's why Don got me this t-shirt, because...
Yeah.
It was just funny as all get out.
Because your cruise director is basically telling dad jokes the whole time. That's why you loved it so much.
And we've already established how much you kind of love dad jokes.
I do. They're funny.
Yeah. Okay, honey.
The guy's like, here.
Well, let's talk about the Jumanji trailer.
I'm just convinced The Rock just does not sleep.
No, I don't think he does.
What it is he takes every role, that, or not every role, because I'm sure he turns down some.
At this point, he's able to turn down roles.
Yeah.
Early on, he couldn't turn down roles.
No. Well, yeah, I think also he... When he was coming up and learning entertainment and stuff, he came up in wrestling, whereas a lot, at the very beginning, when you're first breaking in, you do a lot of whatever they tell you to do.
Yep.
Until you earn enough ranking, or you get high enough up in the, that you can say, wait a minute, why don't we change this up just a little bit?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Now he's picking his roles.
So now, huh?
Now he's just picking his roles.
So he's no longer the Rocky Maivia of acting now.
Exactly.
He's the Rocky.
Yeah. If you look at some of the gimmicks they gave him at the very beginning, Rocky Maivia and some of these other ones, it didn't work. Yeah.
No.
Until The Rock came through, then he had it.
That's true.
But it took him years to figure out what that was.
Yeah.
Well, I remember when all of a sudden he became The Rock, and I'm like... Okay, I kind of like it.
Well, even before he started calling him The Rock, he started talking himself in third person. He was part of, what was it, Nation of Domination?
Yeah, Nation of Domination,
That's where, if you watch his run with them, you'll see the slow build of who The Rock is.
Right.
So,
But considering how poorly Baywatch did, he deserves a bit of a win. So, yeah.
But I don't think that was his
no,
fault.
No, that wasn't his fault. I mean, he tried to hype it as much as possible, but Jumanji does. Check out the trailer because it's not what people thought it might be.
Yeah.
Everyone was worried it was going to be too much of a takeoff from the original and kind of, you know, the original with Robin Williams is pretty awesome. It's a great movie, and everyone was worried that the supposed sequel was going to ruin something, and it is a straight up sequel, but it involves video games instead of board games.
Yeah. That's cool. First thing in the trailer, it actually starts off like the trailer starts off like the Breakfast Club.
It's like a teen comedy. You're like, what the hell am I watching?
And they're stuck, and what they have to do for their Saturday detention is clean the basement of the school.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And find a game console. And this game console plays one game.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it basically is a Last Starfighter / Tron sort of effect where they all get sucked into it.
Exactly. Which is kind of cool, because the original Jumanji, what was cool is the game was attacking the real world.
Mm-hmm.
Until you finish the game.
Right.
And this one, it's the exact opposite, where the kids get sucked into the game.
They have to survive the game itself.
So this could actually be a sequel where someone had actually based the video game on the original board game.
Exactly. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they tell about that part of the story. But the funny part, I think, is the characters themselves.
Yes.
You have these four kids who are obvious types. You know, there's the pretty girl, the shy girl, the jock, and the nerd.
What makes this funny, though, is you have two girls and two guys here.
Yes. Yes, you do. And and they pick their character types essentially just based on a one-sentence description.
Yeah.
And ultimately, it's really funny. This isn't a spoiler. It's right in the trailer. Yeah. The nerd ends up as The Rock.
Yes. So. It looks like The Rock is playing Doc Savage in this.
Yeah, yeah.
He's the professor.
He does. I was just like,
and he talks about having powers and stuff. And he's the smart guy. He's the buff guy. He's the muscle and the brains.
Mm-hmm.
And then the shy girl becomes the hot girl.
Yeah,
that's Karen Gillian. She's and in the trailer they address the fact that she's in short shorts and a short top.
What am I doing in the jungle in short shorts and a short top?
You know, so it basically takes care of what everyone was complaining
about. Why do I look like Laura Croft?
In all the pictures. And then of course the jock, who's this tall, huge guy in real life, ends up as Kevin Hart. And at one point talks about missing the top 2 feet of his body.
Yes.
And then the pretty girl, who picks her character based on the fact that it's described as, I believe, curvy, something like that, ends up as Jack Black.
Yes, two boys, two girls become three men and a woman.
That's right. So,
and the best part is in the trailer when they're like, they're all looking like how their characters look all weird, and she's like, I feel weird. And she starts to walk over the water. They're like, don't look, don't look, don't look.
Yeah.
And she realizes
she's Jack Black.
She's
and
stuck
she screams.
At Jack Black.
So then she apparently gets mopey for part of the movie because she's not happy at all. So it does look quite funny based on the trailer.
And then it breaks into all the action stuff you get in the trailers. And some of the stuff, they're playing with the fact that this is a real-life video game.
Right.
So you got, like, Karen Gillian, she's doing some flying, like, Hong Kong wire work to fly through and knock ninjas off of motorcycles.
Right, right.
I mean, this is a video game
high
in real
speed
life.
Running and all this and that. So it so far looks cool.
Yeah.
And it comes out at Christmas.
Yeah, it comes out at Christmas time. Christmas is actually slowly starting to get better the more I'm looking at it. Because we had said last week that Christmas looked like it might get a little dull, but I forgot. I had totally forgot about Star Wars coming out, Justice League's coming out, Ragnarok's coming out, Jumanji's
fall,
coming out.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The fall's looking better than the summer.
Yeah.
Well, next year looks insane with them back to back to back.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And actually, the other thing this week that we had talked about on the upcoming movie, at the end of the upcoming movie show last time, was the one with Hugh Jackman about P.T. Barnum.
Yes.
It actually dropped a trailer this week.
Oh, nice.
And
I didn't know that.
After not hearing about anything, it drops a trailer. And it looks quite good. It looks very... it reminded me of Moulin Rouge.
Okay.
Because it does have a musical aspect to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very showman kind of thing. It has Zac Efron in it and Zendaya as well. She's an acrobat. And... Zac Efron's just getting involved in showbiz and all. So, yeah.
I wonder if it has any feel of like the classic circus movies. Like, do you guys ever see Billy Rose's Jumbo from way back in the day?
Yes.
And what, hopefully it has a feel a little bit of those.
And you had
movies,
The Greatest Show on Earth.
Yeah, Greatest Show on Earth. There's a couple of them that were amazing. I think, well, I know Jumbo, if I remember right, had, who was it? James Cagney or someone,
yeah,
no, wasn't
it?
Someone played a clown, was totally uncredited, but you knew exactly who it was.
Yeah. I mean, it has a very...
I gotta look that up now.
It has a very big feel to it. It's obviously, you know, the P.T. Barnum story where the trailer starts out in the very obviously old school accountant firm where he's, you know, they've got those old little computer, little machine, not computers, but
the adding machine, the old school hand crank
machines.
Adding machine.
Yeah. And you know, that's his job. And then apparently that all closed down. Like they shut it down. They went bankrupt.
Mm.
So he had to find something to do. And that's what inspired him to essentially create showbiz. Cause he did. He created showbiz, the phrase show business. That was him. You know, so it's kind of interesting to see where all the crap we get now started. Basically, P.T. Barnum's to blame for everything in media now.
Yeah. Well, he was, what it was, well, yeah, in media and everything else, but it's like there were circuses before, but there was nothing on the scale of what he started.
There was no such thing as showmanship. He created that.
Yeah.
You know, circuses just had very basic, bland acts, you know, look at an animal, do this, or see them kind of like a zoo sort of thing or whatever. But he created the showmanship, and that's, it really seems to come out, at least in the trailer. I thought it was pretty effective, and it's kind of like Hugh Jackman doing Hugh Jackman. Like, he loves being on stage and singing and stuff, and that's what he does in this. So it looks pretty good. It's not, I mean, admittedly, not a geeky sort of thing, but it looks good. Cool. And that, again, that releases on Christmas Day, I believe.
Okay.
So.
I'm still looking up that. I'm looking at the cast list for that Jumbo that I brought up.
Right.
I forgot. The two leads were Doris Day and Jimmy Durante.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, this is one that's worth, if you guys get a chance to see it,
see,
it's
when
worth
I was
it.
A kid, I knew the story of Jumbo because for some reason I had a storybook about Jumbo.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just knew about this big elephant that basically did bad things and got killed.
Where is it?
Oh.
Yeah. But
I'm not familiar.
Yeah. But and the other trailer this week was for TV. It was The Inhumans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard that's out. I hadn't gotten a chance to see it.
It dropped this week, and it's unfortunate. It's not as impressive as it should have been.
Yeah.
It shows the clips. It's based on what I've read of The Inhumans. I know the story they're going with, but a lot of people are complaining because of the story, and from the sound of it, to me, they don't actually know the story, so I don't know what they're complaining about at this point. But partly they're complaining about the costumes, because they're really not high end. It's hard to get excited about the costumes in this, and I don't know. It's a wait and see kind of thing.
Right.
They haven't hit it out of the park with the trailer on this, except for Lockjaw. The massive dog shows up at one point to teleport Black Bolt, and then shows up at the very end of the trailer at acting like a dog. Like, he paws down at the front and butt in the air ready to play. Like, that's how Lockjaw shows up at the end.
Cool.
And it's like, we're all just gonna love the dog. It doesn't matter what else is going on.
So, they've said that this really doesn't connect to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at all.
Right.
Right.
But it should be, technically, because of the way Marvel works, this is in the same universe somehow.
Right, yes. It is. It's all in the same universe.
So I'm wondering at some point if they're going to actually link it together and not tell us until...
Well, the thing
is... Because
it's
at the same time as now, right?
The thing is, it starts out in Adalan, which is their home planet, country, whatever. But then at some point... Well, when the teleporting happens, they end up on Earth in Hawaii. And so there's got to be... Some bells have got to go off somewhere at S.H.I.E.L.D. or somewhere else that these somethings have arrived, you know?
Well, and the fact that they're being called Inhumans, and that's a term that was coined by the S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right, exactly. And the military's involved at some point. So, I mean, they've got to know about it.
Yeah, something's going on here.
So it might be the sort of thing where Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. mentions the incident in Hawaii. You know, something like that.
Sure sounds like...
Well, I mean,
Mm-hmm.
There's other arms of S.H.I.E.L.D. than just what we... Because what we see is just a small part of it.
Well, and see, the other thing is, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is well, at least Coulson is in space.
Right.
At the end of this season, so they might not find out about it right away.
Yeah.
Right.
So but, now, do we know who it is that kidnapped Coulson?
Not yet.
Not yet.
They've not...
The Nazis?
Mm-hmm. There's a couple...
It's the Nazis that are coming from the moon.
That's right. Exactly.
There's a couple of storylines, and one does could possibly involve Sword, which is...
Well, no, I assume it's Sword that's right. involved in this, but I'm wondering, we can't use the Shi'ar, can we?
No, the Shi'ar is X-Men.
Well, no, we do get the Kree and the Skrull, though, don't we?
Yeah, that's Marvel. So, well, I mean, that's...
Well, yeah, because they've already established that's what created... Some of the Tahiti stuff.
Right, that, yeah.
So I'm wondering if next season for S.H.I.E.L.D. is not going to just be... They're switching and going to space with the sci-fi on this one. For the whole season.
There's going to be something.
And have, Marvel's version of Star Trek and Star Wars.
Well, no, it depends if they ultimately go crossover into the movies finally. Because with Infinity War coming up... That's going to be mostly Cosmos kind
of
stuff.
Well, yeah. I mean, do you know the season finale of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was there were some not so subtle hints about the Infinity War.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And exactly. So
I'm wondering, you know what?
What?
They're in space working with Sword. What's the chances they run into one of the Guardians?
Mm-hmm.
And right before the Infinity War movie?
It's possible.
Vicky was calling to see Rocket shows up out of nowhere. I don't think they'd pay for that effect, but...
Right. Although they do quite a few effects on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
I mean, having Ghost Rider this past season, that's a lot of effects there.
Considering who is supposed to be showing up in Infinity War, we might see Nick Fury again. Because Sam Jackson has said on more than one occasion that he would love to come back.
Yeah. That's true. He's supposed to be in Infinity War, and he has been on S.H.I.E.L.D. already. So.
And only a handful of the Avengers are the only ones that know he's alive.
Right.
Exactly.
The original Avengers are the only ones that know.
Mm-hmm.
So the newer Avengers don't know yet. They didn't know anything about the creation of the Avengers anyway.
Right.
Or as far as we know, unless they've been told, you know.
Right.
So. But on screen, they've never shown it.
Well, all Falcon knows.
Well, he was there.
Yeah.
He was there, but other than that, he was in with them.
Yeah, the other ones don't.
No. So we'll see.
It looks like the reason I was asking about what we know is because it looks like ABC keeps things closer to the vest than like the CW. Because the CW ends on a cliffhanger, and 3 weeks later you find out what that cliffhanger is before they even...
True.
But I think part of it is just the money for security. Because when they start filming for the next season, the paparazzi in Vancouver are everywhere.
Yes.
And so your secret's going to be out no matter...
It's kind of
so
like,
you have to jump ahead of it and put it out
there. This person showed up on set. Oh, really?
Yeah, so you have to kind of jump out there ahead of time and put it out there. So if people want to see it, they can find it from you and not from them.
Right.
And it also takes some money away from the paparazzi because
Right, right.
Because it's not a secret.
It ends up on, what's that website? Just Jared?
Yeah.
He gets a lot of behind-the-scenes photos on his site, and they're just on the site. They're for free. Because he's had a lot of the Deadpool shot set photos lately, the past week. Part of the filming was Deadpool crashing a kid's birthday party. I don't know what's going on with that.
What chance of it being his own kids?
That I don't know. I don't think they're at the point where he'd have a kid yet.
Unless it was from before all this stuff happened.
Yeah, I mean, in the comics, he only has one kid, so... Mm-hmm.
Oh, he does have a kid in the comics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How messed up is that kid going to be?
it was from a... I guess you'd call it one-night stand.
Yeah.
And the scene was done as a throwaway scene.
Mm-hmm.
And then 20 years later, they bring it back.
Here's the messed up thing.
No, she's been... Was it the last year or so, and she's like, 10 years old?
Oh.
Yeah, something like that.
Here's the messed up thing. It happened when he was in the 70s trying to work with Heroes for Hire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And
Deadpool didn't come out until 91.
Yeah, I know.
And this
yeah.
So in typical Deadpool fashion,
So,
there's been some interesting set photos. If you want to see what's going on Deadpool, you can definitely find them easily online.
Yeah. The only other thing I had before we get into what we're actually talking about a little bit today is Funko. You put it up on Andy's wall yesterday on Saturday.
Yep.
That Funko has some new 3-packs coming out. Now, the 3-packs they've had so far I've loved. We had the first one. Or no, we got the first two. We didn't get the third one yet. The first one, that these are the Star Wars pops. And the first one was the Jabba Hutt throne room. It was Jabba, Slave Leia, and Salacious Crumb.
Mm-hmm. Right there.
Yeah, it's right there. now, this
was... We can just point to Andy's shelf exactly. and go like, this is
the other one that I don't have was actually Luke, the Rancor, and Ula from Jabba's Palace. And Andy has that also, yes. But, so I still want to get that one. But, these ones look amazing, especially, Vicky loves Ewoks. Mm-hmm. I love Ewoks. I mean, people give them a lot of crap, but Ewoks are fun. Yes. And they have an Ewok 3-pack coming at the end of July, right?
Yep.
It's,
That's because they're mini Bigfoots.
Pretty much.
They will eat you.
But they're, you get Tebow, Chief Chirpa, and Logray. Now, these are characters that were actually in the Return of the Jedi, but unless you saw, like, either the Ewoks cartoons from back in the day mm-hmm. or the two Ewok movies, you really didn't know their names.
True.
Right.
So, and it's awesome. They actually look really good.
They do. They're in full garb and everything, so they're pretty mm-hmm. cute.
Mm-hmm. And then at the end of August, we're getting a Cloud City pack.
Yes.
Where you get Lobot, an Ugnaught, which are the, anybody who doesn't know, they're the little fang guys that were working around doing maintenance on Cloud City.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then you get the Not Lando Guard.
Yeah.
And this was, if you watch Return of the, or Empire Strikes Back, there's one of the Bespin guards that kind of looks like Lando, but it's not.
Right.
Right. And I think out of these two packs, Andy is probably more excited about the second one because Andy has a particular love of the more obscure, less recognized characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's always looking for those action figures and that kind of thing. So I think he's really excited about that 3-pack.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. And I know we're going to be talking about San Diego Comic-Con, which mm-hmm. is coming up on the weekend of the 20th, right?
Right.
Of July.
Right.
And Funko, some of their exclusives for there for Star Wars was sweet. They're actually having the 6-inch, which is the larger size pop of hologram Snoke, Supreme Leader Snoke.
Mm-hmm. Ah, okay.
So he's all blue. They have a 2-pack with hologram Leia from A New Hope and R2-D2. Then they're finally putting out... Bodhi Rook, and there was one other one that I don't remember off the top of my head.
They always do some really cool stuff for Comic-Con, and the good thing is now, at least for the past couple of years, there's usually at least one store that sells them
okay.
right around the same time. I think a couple of years ago, it was Barnes & Noble mm-hmm. was doing Comic-Con stuff. And last year it was Hot Topic.
Okay.
Because I was able to get a couple of the Doctor Who ones that they were doing exclusives of.
Yeah.
And I know for this year, for other properties, I'm excited about the fact that they're doing a Red She-Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also doing, for Supernatural fans, they're doing part of their vehicle collection. They're finally doing Baby and having Dean as the driver. So we can... Kylan's going to try and see if he can find this one in a store, because we already own Lola with Coulson driving.
Right.
Okay.
We already have Deadpool in a Chimichanga truck, and now we're going to try and get that Dean in Baby.
Yes.
Nice.
So, yeah. they haven't done a lot with Supernatural lately, because there's not much to do.
No.
Yeah.
But we have a bunch of the Supernatural ones already. Right. So.
That's it. Did we talk about the... She mentioned the spinoff for Supernatural. Did we talk about that?
We talked about it last week.
Yep.
So, but back to Comic-Con. Comic-Con's coming
up. Hold on, wait.
What?
We're not going to talk about the big news that happened this week.
Your big news.
You're the one that's the big news.
Talk about it.
Well, okay. For gamers out there, I personally think this is huge. Okay, so back in 1980, there was a game that was one of the first. It used the same system that Gygax created for Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh yeah, now I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and so.
Which anybody who's a gamer now, it was the original version of the D20 system that's used in Dungeons and Dragons.
Right. So this game is called Top Secret. Creator was Merle Rasmussen.
It's probably a lot closer to the movie than you think.
Yes, and actually, one of the stories is that apparently some government officials got a hold of one of the boxes, and as they're reading this, some of the information in the player guide read so much like an actual intelligence document that they actually had to go to the people that wrote this to make sure that, you know, make sure that it was not an actual thing, supposedly.
Okay.
So anyway, this game was really popular. I enjoyed it. And I was one of those people, like, I was kind of interested in RPGs, but it wasn't until somebody introduced me to Top Secret that I really got into it. Well, the game eventually kind of died off. There have been other games that were in that vein, but nothing quite as unique as Top Secret. Well, this week, actually, it was on the 27th of June, the Kickstarter dropped for Top Secret New World Order. And this is under the umbrella of TSR. So Merle Rasmussen, along with some of the other members of the team that were part of that original creative group, managed to somehow pool the resources together to not just bring back Top Secret, but also to bring it back under TSR.
Nice.
Yeah.
No, I didn't remember. Wizards is actually letting TSR still run as TSR?
I don't think so. I don't know how that is.
Because I thought they dissolved TSR when Wizards of the Coast bought it.
Right, but so I don't know if they when they got a hold of Top Secret, because it says TSR on this. I don't know if somehow they bought
the Kickstarter is being run by TSR Games.
That's so, what I'm looking up right now.
Yeah. Right. So this was supposed. I guess the goal for this was $12,000. Okay, and that was on June 27th. As of July 2nd, today, July 2nd, the Kickstarter is now at $74,007. Yeah.
And there's how many days left?
And there's
What was it? Where's it at?
74,000.
Okay.
Out of the 12,000 that they want.
Nice.
And this wraps up on the 27th.
Yeah, there's 24 days to go. And they've already got $74,000 and almost 1,100 backers.
Yes. And so, and I mean, some of the things that you'll get with this are like, you know, for $10, like you're able to get the PDF of the core rules. But I mean, even so, you get the box set. Like,
the box set, I think, is at the $65 level,
right? Or $50.
$50. Yeah, level, $50. That's right. $50 level for the basic box set.
And the basic box set, you get the core rule book, the Game Master screen, 4 player mats, 8 vehicle sheets, 20 character sheets, 40 tokens for cars, hazards, and explosions, a set of 5 dice, 1d4, 1d6. A D8, a D10, and a D12, and an introductory mission module, the White Queen. So, now the thing is, as you look at, I suggest that everybody goes, check this out. There's no stretch goals for this, and the reasoning they said is they just want to try and keep this initial run very basic. And I don't think they were expecting the reception that they got for this, because I know that in the years since I played Top Secret, I would seek out if people were playing or if anybody had a group, but it's kind of hard to find. Everybody's still playing D&D, and there are a lot of people who are playing, you know, in everything else but Top Secret. But it's good to know that I'm not alone. So there's some things in the works as far as Geek Watch 1 goes.
Interestingly, though, you know how Kickstarters always have a couple of big goals, a couple of big levels that you can purchase. Although it sold out because there was only 3 available, they actually had a $300 level they called Station Chief that included a 4-day gold badge to Gary Con and an in-person game run by Merle Rasmussen at Gary Con.
Wow.
Nice. So,
and there's also a... They're currently still available, a $5,000 level, only one available, that gives you, Merle Rasmussen will actually come to you to run an exclusive original game. So if you want that, maybe we could convince Andy to pledge that for Con on the Cob. You never know. But okay. But yeah, so the rest of it is basically the top level now is $100.
Right.
You get the box set, you get a personalized icon badge, which is their organization is Icon, mm-hmm. and you get a foil stamped linen bound hardcover of the rule book.
Ooh.
Exactly. So plus all the regular stuff that you're getting in the $50 level. So yeah, that's you've got time. You got a few weeks still.
It looks like there is a company out there, TSR Games.
Yep.
It's not Wizards of the Coast. I'm not sure. I can't see anywhere. I can't figure out yet where when they got started or anything else. But it is TSR is back up and running, or someone is running a company called TSR.
Well, based on the Kickstarter, it basically has a lot of description about Merle Rasmussen. So I think it's directly connected to him.
Yeah. Well, that's something we'll have to ask him about if we ever get a chance to talk to him.
That's right. Man.
Well, so there, things
do
happen.
Do you have any other big news, honey, that we're missing?
Well, if anybody remembers a game called Divine Right, apparently that is on the way of being re-released as well.
You just found out about a Kickstarter.
And I just found out about a Kickstarter for this one. I played it a couple of times. It's like this awesome mix of RPG and tabletop game. It was one of those games that like I played when I was in college, and it's a very basic game in that there's not a lot of parts to it, but the actual playing of the game itself is very I guess I almost say it's very political in that there's a lot of the way that you win is based on diplomacy. And backstabbing, pretty much what it comes down to.
That's what you want. Just play for backstabbing.
Look
that up on Kickstarter.
Yeah, look that up.
Kickstarter is a great resource for either old games that they're bringing back or games you may not have discovered otherwise. Like these are games that might not end up in your game shop unless they get this Kickstarter backing.
Yeah,
so go there and look them up. Kickstarter has so many different categories. I've gotten a lot of comics off of Kickstarter. There's a lot of cool and usually if you support comics on there, you get pieces of art and all kinds of stuff.
Did we talk pests in the last couple weeks?
Not in the last couple
Mike
weeks.
Mike McFarlane, I didn't get a chance to see it. When we were recording up in McFarlane's place,
yeah.
He had just got in the proof for pests.
Yeah, I saw he posted a photo of that.
They were taking it with them down to Origins to actually play the actual version of it that he had to get the okay to get it printed. So he's got the original prototype copy of it. And the rest are getting printed on the way back. So anybody who backed Pests, it is coming. It's in the works.
You'll be getting update emails anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Or look up, is it Combustible Games?
Yes. Spontaneously Combustible Games.
Spontaneous Combustible. They run other Kickstarters. Yeah, they run other Kickstarters. They have their own website, so you can see the other games that they're doing.
It's starting to roll for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, did we have anything else before we get into...
We have to get into Comic-Con now!
Yeah. San Diego Comic-Con's coming. It's right around the corner. We know the... and they've actually released some of the panels that are happening.
Yes, they have.
So, and Miss Dawn has a full list of panels.
I do. First of all, I do want to mention that the other Comic-Con-related news is that through 2021, it will be staying in San Diego.
Okay.
Oh. Contracts, etc. went through this week that basically... they have to come to an agreement with local hotels about this.
Yeah. Well, and that's because no matter how big the hall is, how many people it can hold, if people can't sleep there, they're not going to come.
Right. Like, Comic-Con basically gets, like, 130,000 people a year.
Yeah.
They need a lot of hotel rooms. This contract involves 56 hotels in the area that had to come to an agreement on this to basically not raise room rates between 2019 and 2021 more than 4%.
Okay.
Which they're already discounted for Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And this is a huge thing to get all these hotels to agree to not raise the rates because they could be
this
making
is probably,
a chunk load of money.
Not just in geek circles, but it's probably one of the largest conventions in the world.
It is.
It is.
Absolutely.
Of any kind.
Well, even non-geeks know about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, everyone knows about Comic-Con now because it's more, it's much more media related now. Yes. It's much more about the TV shows and the releases than it is really about comics anymore.
Also, we are open to anybody who happens to be listening to this that is going to Comic-Con. You can secure a guest spot on Geek Watch 1.
That's right.
Just let us know about Comic-Con. Let us know what you saw. How fun was it?
If you want to provide a report, we'll be happy to have you on the show.
Even if all you want to do is write it up on an email, send it to Miss Dawn, we'll read it here instead.
Yes, we'll read it.
If you don't
want to
get on air.
Absolutely.
But we can do multiple ways. If you're not able to Skype, we can always get you on telephone call. It's real easy to get you on the show. We want to talk to someone from Comic-Con.
Can you tell we want a correspondent? We just really want someone out there to do this. So that I saw that deal anyway. But a lot of the companies have already released their panels. We already knew, obviously, Warner Brothers and DC was going to be there. Marvel announced they would be there this year.
You've got Justice League. I think we're getting the second Justice League trailer we're supposed to get from Comic-Con.
Yeah, we're going to get... See, there's a lot of stuff, of course, they haven't announced.
Yeah.
They're going to have the surprise trailers during a lot of the talks. Basically, it starts Wednesday night. Warner Brothers is doing special sneak peek screenings.
Yes.
Starting at 6 p.m. of upcoming shows. They're doing Deception, Krypton, Black Lightning, and a new episode of Teen Titans Go.
Okay.
But... Also, during the regular course of Comic-Con, they're showing these episodes. So it's just a sneak preview Wednesday night if you happen to be there.
The movie premiere I'm excited about once you get to that part.
Right. So Thursday, I just kept a few things for Thursday. They've got the Teen Titans Go special one-hour episode, apparently. So they're going to have producers and some of the voice cast there.
Okay.
They've also got the... Justice League action video presentation and Q&A. So you're going to get a new episode, and both producers and some voice actors are going to be there, including Dietrich Bader, who I believe does he do Batman?
I think he does Batman.
Yeah, he does Batman now.
Yeah. So,
actually, speaking of voice acting, you're talking about the Teen Titans. Mm-hmm. The guy who plays Beast Boy. It was interesting because I was watching something else on the DC YouTube channel, and the All Access popped up, and it was him playing the new Lego Dimensions with the Teen Titans Go pack in it. So it was interesting hearing Beast Boy playing Beast Boy while they're watching it on screen.
It was cool.
Nice. Then Thursday afternoon, we also have a Timeless panel with... Which I'm thinking, you know, they waited until they were sure that this was came back for renewal.
Yeah.
Like we talked about before they decided that they were going to have a panel. They don't have the panelists for it yet, but obviously you're going to have the actors there and stuff like that.
San Diego's not that far from L.A.
Exactly. This is why...
Well, they film in Vancouver, but most of the actors are still based in L.A.
But they end up in L.A. I mean, this is why you get all these shows and movies and all the actors for them at San Diego.
I've already checked it out. My sister, later this summer, is moving to... Which one is it? Palm Springs. And that's only, 2 hours from San Diego?
Something like that.
So my sister's going to be living about 2 hours from San Diego starting at the end of the summer.
Well, there's an excuse, isn't it?
Exactly.
And then for fans of The Strain, there's the FX is going to have a panel. They're also going to have a panel for Legion to talk about the upcoming season and have, it seems like, almost the entire cast of Legion is going to be there. And then Marvel's going to have an Inhumans panel to meet the cast and talk about... apparently, it's going to... The first two episodes are what's screening in IMAX.
Okay.
September 1st, but it's going to be a two-week period. So you don't have to rush out on September 1st to see it.
Oh, that's actually going to run in theaters for 2 weeks.
Yeah, you've got 2 weeks at just IMAX theaters. Because, Kylan and I know we're going to be down at Dragon Con... But we've already scoped out where the IMAX theater is in Atlanta.
Ah, okay.
So there's a bunch of us, I think, who are going to plan to go see it on September 1st.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got a GeekCon right there. Of course, you're all going to go try and go see it. And then...
The thing is, you're going to have everybody at DragonCon thinking this.
Well, yes, but you buy tickets ahead of time. you beat everyone to it. And then the one of the last things they have on Thursday is a panel on 12 Monkeys. And they've got a TBA on the panelists for that one, but... I'm sure it'll be everyone involved. Friday morning, Warner Brothers starts out with a Young Justice Q&A.
Okay. Hey, maybe we'll actually finally get some details about the new the new DC streaming app. Because that's where you're supposed to be able to see this.
I would think so. I mean, because you're going to have the producers there. You're going to have... it doesn't talk about, say, that any of the panelists are going to be any of the voice actors. It's more key members of the creative team, including the art director. So,
okay.
But it says they'll discuss the return of Young Justice and upcoming Young Justice Outsider. So I would think they'd have to discuss the streaming app at some point.
It's going to be interesting also to see how they incorporate the Outsiders into this, because that's basically what this is what it looks like.
Right.
Anybody who doesn't know, the Outsiders was actually, what was it, probably a C-level team from the 80s that Batman had put together. It was basically Batman's personal covert operations team.
Right.
Right. So we'll see how that works. Then they have an iZombie video presentation, which I would think has, you know, previews of the next season and all that kind of thing. Then AMC kind of takes over Hall H with Fear the Walking Dead and then The Walking Dead. So I'm sure the entire crowd will just stay through the whole thing. But that tells you the size of it. Like for Thursday, none of the stuff we'd be interested in is in Hall H. Hall H is the massive hall. It's the big one. So on Friday, the first ones that seem to hit Hall H are The Walking Dead stuff. The Fear the Walking Dead and The Walking Dead. Then we have, I kept this one in here. There's one for the 100. They're doing a video presentation and Q&A.
We still have to watch the latest season of that.
And it talks about being like all the series stars are going to be there for
it.
And, talking about season 5, which really, I didn't realize it was all the way up to season 5 now. Yeah. So
I saw seasons 2, 3, and 4. I didn't see season 1.
Okay.
Well, you might want
to go back and watch season 1 then.
So, we got to watch season 5, too.
Right.
So,
then we have Nickelodeon, and I kept this because I'm sure we're fans. Tales of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Okay.
They're going to have the voice talent. They've got Sean Austin, who's Raphael.
He's one of the turtles,
Rob Paulsen, who does Donatello. Greg Sipes is Michelangelo. Eric Bauza is Tiger Claw.
I want to give a shout-out to another podcast, though. If you get a chance, Rob Paulsen has a podcast.
Yes, he does.
And he's always got other voice actors on him.
Right.
He's had like Mark Hamill and anybody you've ever heard on television doing a voice has been on his show at some point.
And actually, just this past week or so, maybe it was 2 weeks ago, he was on another podcast, the one that the Nerdist does with a couple of their people. He was on it doing a revised version of Yakko's World.
Yeah, and he still does that live on stage when he does stage shows.
Oh, that was it. And he was doing the whole thing. He didn't have any cards in front of him or anything. I watched it. I was like, holy crap.
If you ever get a chance, I believe they call it Animaniacs Live.
Yeah.
Rob Paulsen, I think, is the one that put this together. And it's a bunch of the different voice actors that did Animaniacs doing a live stage show.
And that was the best thing about Animaniacs was always the songs.
Yeah.
Because so many of them were actually educational songs.
They
were.
Well, they snuck that in there because they could get into a lot more markets.
Yes.
By calling it an educational show.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's very true. And they actually had like history episodes.
Yes.
They had things that had, you know, segments with history in it. And that's, and seeing him, the thing is, it kind of throws you off seeing the person doing the voice and knowing the character.
Yeah.
But just watching the person, like, it just.
Well, that's like Wacko. Was that Jess Harnell that did Wacko?
Maybe, I don't remember.
If I remember it, but you look at him, it's a totally different dude.
Yeah.
And he's not British at all.
No, that's right.
Well, that, and if you look at a lot of the anime voice actors, they're almost all women.
Right.
Yeah.
So you get your favorite male characters, and it's a 40-year-old woman.
And you're like, what? And actually, if you've never looked up the cast for Bob's Burgers, look that up. Because there's some switching of gender with the voices on that one.
Well, that's because in animation, a lot of it's on the pitch of the voice, not as much on who's behind it.
Exactly. Right.
That's why the women play the younger men.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's why, anytime you get a younger boy, usually you have a woman doing it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. So you know, I think the TMNT one would be cool to go to just to get all the voice actors there and stuff.
Especially if they get into character.
Kidding. So they're talking about what's to come in season 5 of TMNT. If you didn't know it, the current one is all the way up to season 5 now.
That's actually amazing, because even modern cartoons at this point still have a lifespan of about 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
Right.
Before they trade off to something else.
But it's actually a really good, like, they don't, the current Turtle show does not just have a half hour episode and then they have a different topic the next week, or it's a continuous storyline.
Yeah.
Which I think is what works really well compared to a lot of other shows that don't have that. You know, a lot of superhero shows, they may have an overarching thing that they're following through on, but every episode is kind of self-contained.
Yeah. Right.
This, you actually have to follow the Turtles episodes to know what's going on.
They kind of picked that up from when from the last Fox Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles series.
Right.
You know, it was a little bit darker, but it had that continuing story. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I was kind of iffy about this one, but the writing is
Fox
really good.
Fox has done that a lot. They weren't the first one I remember that you were kind of lost if you missed an episode was back in the 80s with Robotech.
Yes.
Because Robotech was a complete series. One led into the other, but that was anime. That's the way
it
worked.
Right.
But the first American show I remember that actually did something like this that you could watch individual episodes, but it was a lot better if you watched the whole thing, was the first Fox X-Men series.
Yes, yeah.
That one, if you watched them in order, it made a whole lot more sense than individual episodes. Mm-hmm. And then the Spider-Man series they put out right about the same time actually had numbered episodes.
Right.
Because that one, you were completely lost if you didn't see the one before.
Yeah, because they would put, like, you know, because they would introduce, like, Daredevil. And so that might be a two or three episode thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or Blade was like a two or three
episode thing. But if you jumped in the middle of that, you had no idea what was going on.
Right, so the Turtles has done a good job of that, and they've done, like, interdimensional stuff. They've been in other dimensions, and actually there was a really good episode, I don't know if it was last season or the season before, where they actually did an RPG. They, one of the villain or whatever made them all believe that they were on a quest, and they had to complete portions of this quest.
Cool.
And, like, one of them was a wizard, and one of them was, you know, like, they were all roles
now,
within this.
Have they brought
in
Krang and the Technodrome yet?
There's Krang's all through it.
Good. Krang, yes.
Yeah. Is he still the little brain in the stomach of the robot?
Yes, and he has his own robots. Like, there's a robot forces that are Krang.
Well, that's some of that stuff,
because
you're talking about interdimensional and stuff like that.
Yep.
A lot of that was actually done in the original series, too.
Yep. They've got a lot of the original stuff in there.
They even acknowledge the original series, because didn't they do one where they met?
There was an interdimensional thing where they crossed over into the 80s series. The two of them. It was
cool.
Awesome.
Now, have we seen Usagi Yojimbo yet?
No.
Samurai
not yet,
Rabbit.
Not yet.
No, he hasn't shown up in that.
Okay. That was one that actually, the only time it really crossed over, the comic books were totally separate companies that did the comic books.
Mm-hmm.
But in the TV series, they actually brought in Yojimbo.
That's right. So there's that one. Then, not surprisingly, Hall H will have Game of Thrones, and that's going to be right before the premiere, or the weekend of the premiere.
I think it's the weekend.
Premieres in mid-July, so it's going to be right around the same time. So you never know; you may end up getting the episode before it airs, with that sort of thing.
You probably will.
Yeah, and then.
How much time did they give them for that panel?
They've just got an hour.
Okay, then they probably will get the episode.
Yeah. Although they might, you know, invite people. So the thing is, it's only an hour, but I couldn't find something directly after it in Hall H. So, you know, it's questionable. Because the next thing in Hall H, like, that ends at 2:30, and the next thing in Hall H is at 4. So it's a possibility there might be something if they don't slot something else in there.
Yeah.
But anyway, the next thing on that day, it will be The Gifted on Fox, which is the new one, so they're going to talk
about... That one you probably will get the premiere.
You're going to talk about mutants and stuff. That's only an hour long, though, so... But, I mean, if you cut out the commercials, because, you know, HBO, you're not considering commercials. Fox, you're considering commercials.
Yeah, it's 45 minutes without commercials, so actually, no, that's still not really enough time to get it good.
You might get a couple good clips.
Yeah.
Is what you'll get, something more than the trailer. Then Hall H gets The Preacher. I'm amazed that Preacher has picked up so much, it deserves a Hall H.
Well, yeah.
I mean, but I think that's awesome. Like, we've watched the first couple episodes. Oh, my God.
Yeah, we still have to watch this season. We've not started on this season yet.
It's crazier than last season already. And
it is
one of the best shows on TV. I don't care. And then there's Bob's Burgers. Speaking of voice actors, they've got everyone from the show is going to be on this, along with the executive producers, and they're going to discuss what's next. And interestingly, you have that happening, and then directly after it, you have an Archer discussion in Q&A. If you don't know this already, the one who voices Bob also voices Archer. Okay? It's the same dude. If you're used to one show and you go watch the other show, it's going to mess you up, because everyone knew Archer first because it came out first, because they're going into season 9 on Archer, which is it's a spy show, that's just kind of stupid and crazy.
It's a spy spoof show.
And I've watched a few episodes. It's not bad. But the problem is I watched Bob's Burgers first. So I know Bob. And I watch him as Archer. It just doesn't fit. It's just not quite right seeing Bob as a spy. But I'm sure it messes people up worse to have to know the spy and have him, you know, working in a burger shop. But he does a lot of this. I think it's H. John Benjamin. I think is the guy who does it, and he does so many voices. But
well, that's in television on live action television movies.
Yeah.
You see an actor and he plays one role. That's what they do. Mm-hmm. In voice acting, it's not uncommon to work three different ongoing television series is at the same time, right. Four different shows.
Well, and the other thing is, though, it's just his voice. Like, he doesn't disguise it like other voice actors do for certain roles. It's just his voice. So that's part of what messes you up, because it's just his voice.
Sort of like the guy that was Space Ghost. That's his voice.
The guy that was Space Ghost on Space Ghost Coast to Coast, that was his voice. We met him at a con one time. We could hear him from across the room, and we were looking around going, like, oh my God, Space Ghost is here!
Was he the guy that originally played Space Ghost? Because the kid sounds almost identical.
No. No, it wasn't, because he's definitely not old enough to have done that.
No.
But, he was when...
Because it sounds so close.
When we met him, he was in his 30s, like, so it wasn't the same guy.
Right, I mean, because I think it was when we were getting pictures with, Lando.
We got pictures with Billy Dee Williams.
We got pictures of Billy Dee Williams.
It was at Motor City Comic Con for years.
And then all of a sudden we're like, I'm like, Space Ghost? Space Ghost? And then we look and there's this guy in the corner, and...
Yeah. And he was the friendliest guy, too. But, yeah, so it's interesting to meet the voice actors and hear them and just, like, you picture whatever character you know in your head right away.
And getting interviews, when you listen to interviews with these guys, it's like when we've had Rob on here, and he brings Gandersnitch with him once in a while.
That's right.
These guys will do the same thing. They just don't even think about it. They flip right into voices and out of voices and all kinds of stuff.
Well, actually, this is something we didn't have in the news portion, but I should have mentioned. This past week, there was a special live streaming Rick and Morty segment on AdultSwim.com where they finally announced the third season is starting at the end of July.
Okay.
After debuting the first episode on April Fool's, telling people that they weren't going to, and they did. But I love Rick and Morty, so this is a big thing for me. And I watched the streaming, and it's basically a two-person crew where the one guy does all the writing and the other guy does a lot of the voices. And... so this was a live version of the guy actually writing and the guy reading these things as he's writing them. It was the funniest thing, but like the same guy does the voice for Rick and Morty. Okay, so Rick is the older guy, the grandfather who's the mad scientist, and Morty's the grandson who sounds like a worried Jewish man. Like he's a little kid, but he's always worried, and he's got this like old Jewish comic name, and you know, Morty. So he's going back and forth between these characters, and watching this on screen, it was crazy.
And he's talking to himself the whole time.
It's crazy. It was so good. So, you know, if you're a Rick and Morty fan, you know, third season, end of the month, 11:30 on a Sunday. I know that. So I'll be DVRing it and not watching it when it comes on. But anyway, one of the last things on the Friday is the Marvel's Defenders. So obviously the cast is going to be there, talk about everything. And again, it's only an hour long thing, but you'll likely get clips from it because it's barely
a month
away. So then we move to Saturday. And only because I know some people are fans of this, there's a Riverdale special video presentation and Q&A.
Okay. That actually, from what I've heard, I've not seen it yet, but I've heard it's actually a lot better than what people are expecting.
The thing is, people have called it a good show, but it's not an Archie show.
As Vernon did see a couple of them, and he's actually a fan of Archie comics, he said what it is a modern Archie show.
Yeah.
Because the modern day Archie comics are more like what Riverdale is.
Yeah.
But when people think River or Archie, they're thinking the classic Archie's, the grocery store digests and stuff like that.
Bright, colorful,
which is the old school Archie's.
I mean, it does fit that it's basically a teen drama show.
Yeah.
You know, it's everyday life sort of thing.
But this is what you actually get from Archie Comics now.
Right. Mm-hmm. So they're going to talk about what's coming up in season two. They're going to have the cast. They don't even get a full hour. It's 45 minutes, which is really weird.
Yeah.
Unless
they're trying to rush to get something else in behind it.
True. That's true. I don't know what room they're in. They're not in the big one.
They're handing out burgers.
There, no, no. The next one is where they're handing out burgers. It's the SpongeBob SquarePants.
that's probably why, because they need to be able to prep yeah. food. Like,
but it interestingly, it's not just the series. It's SpongeBob SquarePants: The Legend of Bikini Bottom, a special they're doing, obviously for Halloween.
Okay.
So they're gonna have all. It's but it's not your typical SpongeBob. It's a stop motion Halloween special.
Oh, okay. No.
So, which always looks creepy when they take SpongeBob out of regular animation.
That does. That just freaks me out.
So, yeah, and they're actually going to do a table read of one of their classic Halloween episodes. Which is so they're going to have like the whole voice cast there yeah. and everything and do a read, which I think makes it more interesting than to just answer questions or something to actually see
that how means Clancy how Brown is going to be there.
Because
he's the voice of Mr. Krabs.
He may be. I don't know. It depends
on that man has had a great voice acting career.
Yes.
I mean, he was in some classic movies back in the day. He was. Even regular acting now. But then you look at his animation, he's all over the place.
Yeah. He is. Oh, yeah. Look him up on IMDb.
That man works all the time.
That voice of his is yeah. iconic. It really is. And it's kind of like...
So what happens when your head half chopped off and then half healed?
That's true.
What, see? That's what it is.
Or you get shot, or you get bit in the back by an alien from Planet 10.
That's right.
Yeah.
He's had a lot of hardship.
He really has. Although
his characters just don't do well.
Although they did bring him back to life, kind of, sort of, in a later Buckaroo Banzai story.
True.
Because technically you just see him pass out.
They always bring people back to life, though. I mean... Yeah, you just see him pass out. It wasn't a dead body, so he could come back. So,
well, no, because they said he's dead. They're like, yep, he's gone. In the movie.
They can say whatever I know. They want.
Yeah. But see, we're talking
they
about
say that. They say that in Marvel movies all the time.
Well, yeah.
Coulson was
look
dead.
Look at Coulson. Coulson was
Coulson
dead.
Coulson was dead. Nick Fury's dead.
damn Tahiti incident.
It's a magical place.
Speaking of, Marvel Animation has a panel... to talk about all of their stuff that they've been doing and coming up and everything that's going on with Marvel cartoons.
Yeah, they have a list like DC Comics. They have cartoons everywhere.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they've got an hour's worth of getting you through all of these cartoon properties.
Now, apparently, from what I've heard, Marvel is actually using... which is Avengers... and Guardians, like their animated series, to kind of ease people into the whole cosmic thing.
Yeah,
because we're about to get approaching
Infinity War.
So they said that now. So in a weird way, some of this stuff is canon-ish.
Well, because we know Marvel ties things together even if there's no crossover
right.
between movies and TV.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things you find out in the cartoons
mm-hmm.
that shows up in the movies or
yep.
shows up on another yeah. show. Like when they were doing stuff with, I remember it was when Ant-Man came out.
Mm-hmm.
There was an episode of one of the cartoons that had Ant-Man and Hawkeye together.
Right.
And you actually learned that they had a pre-existing relationship being cons.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of like, but you wouldn't know that if you didn't watch the cartoon.
Yeah.
Right.
Or didn't know the comics. But, I mean, it's interesting the way they give you backstory
cartoons
that way.
Now, there's one thing that they've done in Agent, well, they did it in Ultimate Spider-Man, and I don't know how they're going to handle it because Coulson dated Aunt May for a while.
Oh, in Ultimate Spider-Man?
In Ultimate Spider-Man.
Okay.
Right.
And because Coulson was the principal.
She's just moving around everywhere. Coulson Tony Stark and...
Well, saying Coulson was the principal. He was undercover, but he was the principal at Peter's high school. So, thing is, I don't know.
That would have been an interesting way to get Coulson back in the movies.
That would have been.
To get him into Homecoming that way.
You know,
all of a sudden
they,
he shows up as the principal.
You know, because...
You never know. They could do that.
They could. They really
could. They could. So, we'll... You know, we'll see, because, I don't know, Coulson, Tony Stark, I don't know which one she'd go with, you know what I mean, because Aunt May, we got hot Aunt May now, so.
Yeah.
I don't think she'd go for Tony. Aunt May is smart.
Yeah.
And Tony's a player. She knows that.
She does.
So she doesn't want to just be a notch on his belt.
No.
Come on.
No.
Maybe she wants him to be a not player.
Oh, yeah, so I'm like, maybe
the other way around.
You don't know how much of a player Aunt May is at this point.
How many billionaires is she?
That's true. I mean, he'd pay for everything. I mean,
yeah, you know.
Okay, then we have a special video presentation Q&A from Warner Brothers for Krypton.
Okay.
But interestingly, again, not an hour. So obviously you're getting the bits of the episode that they think are most important for you to see. And the producers, some of the cast, blah, blah, blah. Then we have, Warner Brothers has Lucifer as well.
Okay.
So
that's one that I'm surprised that it's been doing as well as
it has. It's going to the third season. Well,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've liked it. Like, Dawn generally watches it more than I do,
mm-hmm.
but I've enjoyed it all that I've watched. It's
an interesting show, and it's usually a fun show, and it has some good characters. Partly it's because of the Lucifer that it's based on is from the Vertigo / DC universe, but that Lucifer was what was in Sandman that Neil Gaiman created.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the character type that really works. It's not the same Lucifer that you get in Supernatural.
No.
It's a completely different, you know.
Well, if you want to look at it more, Lucifer in Supernatural is more of the religious, traditional fallen angel Lucifer.
Right. And the Lucifer in the Lucifer show is much more of the, I guess you'd almost want to say con man, smooth operator type. He purposely left hell. He got sick of working in hell and he left. And he came to Earth and he's trying to fit in. He's trying to learn about people and trying to make his way and be the most popular guy ever because he runs a nightclub. I mean, and then he gets involved in like police procedural stuff, which is kind of funny, but... but yeah, it is a good show. So they're going to have their panel discussion. There's also one, not surprisingly, from CBS on Star Trek Discovery.
Okay.
It says panelists to be announced, but obviously you're going to have at least part of the cast. Especially since one of them who's in it is also currently still in Walking Dead, so she's going to be there anyway.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they'll talk about their streaming service as well, I would think.
Well, theirs has been up and running for about a year now. Or no.
Yeah, but
about 6 months.
A lot
months
of people don't know about it, though.
Yeah, I know.
A lot of people still don't get into it. So then we have a few more Warner Brothers. It's like it's Warner Brothers Day on Saturday, really. Because then you have Gotham, and followed by Supergirl, and Legends of Tomorrow. So you've got all of them with the cast and the discussions and stuff that's not surprising. And of course, all of these. All of the cast that's there, whoever shows up on that day, their booth is going to have them signing things before and after and that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you know to expect anyway. There's actually going to be a panel on The Orville. The Seth MacFarlane take
I still say that has a chance of being a breakout surprise for next year.
On his fall. Mm-hmm. Star Trek parody.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I guess you'd say. So, not surprising, he'll be there and other cast members and such. And then there'll be one, not surprisingly, in Hall H for Westworld.
Okay.
Because if they're apparently they're allowing a Q&A. There's going to be a lot of Qs and a lot of A's.
You know what? the way that season finale ended, there's going to be a lot of Qs.
Yes. Yeah, so if you haven't caught Westworld yet and you like funky sci-fi that confuses the hell out of you, then go for it.
Oh my god,
it's a great show, but there's a lot of stuff you left questioning by the end of every episode. And there's also, I thought this was pretty cool. AMC is going to do a panel for a new show that we're all looking forward to called Robert Kirkman's Secret History of Comics.
Okay,
cool.
Robert Kirkman's the one behind Walking Dead and many other things, Outcast, other things. And it is Secret History of Comics. It's the history of comics. It's behind the scenes. It's how things were created, how companies were created.
Fun.
Yeah, so that's coming up on AMC. I don't know that they've released the schedule for it or anything yet, but probably have. And then we basically finish off the day with more Warner Brothers. Because we have Black Lightning and Flash and Arrow.
Okay.
So it's
supposed to have another one happening there. I think you have on his list another Warner Brothers.
Which one?
The actual movie premiere. They're actually having at Comic-Con, they're doing a movie premiere for Batman and Harley Quinn.
Well,
they're
actually playing the whole movie. Yeah, it's not scheduled within the panels.
Ah, okay.
That's why, because I have a panel list.
That, well, I know. I was, I would love to have seen that. Actually, they're doing their version of a red carpet premiere for the new Batman and Harley Quinn. And from the trailers and stuff for this, this looks amazing. It is straight out of the original Batman the Animated Series.
Right.
Is the animation. They got all the voice actors come back except for Harley Quinn, because they have Melissa Rauch doing Harley Quinn. And if you actually hear her in the trailers, she sounds just like Harley. So,
there you go.
She's doing phenomenal on that.
So, yeah, so it's not surprising that, you know, Warner Brothers is putting all their shows in the... I mean, because the thing is, with Marvel, you know, Marvel has their certain movies and certain TV shows coming out, but Marvel also has the chance to release a lot of stuff at D23 instead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they're showing up just to give you a taste of things that are coming within the next couple months.
Well, in the last couple of years, Marvel's been doing a lot more of their own premieres. Like, they'll rent out a theater and do something huge for something.
Right. And I mean, at this point, they've got Thor coming out in the fall.
Right.
You don't need to know much more about Thor.
Yeah,
I mean, you know you're going to go see it. You've seen the trailer. I mean, yeah.
That's like, well, we've not seen Sunday yet, but is there any panels at all for any of the Star Wars stuff?
No.
That's another one we're expecting a lot, but we just had Celebration. We've got D23 coming up in like 2 weeks after this.
And I mean, I don't know if Marvel decided they're showing up with just Marvel properties. Disney has not specified any panels, so it's possible that Disney will be announcing some Star Wars panels. This was just based on the announcements I knew by end of week. So there's still some spaces to fill in, for sure. And for Sunday, I only have a couple things. One of them is Marvel's Spider-Man animated.
Okay.
They're doing a panel for that.
Right.
And they were a corny description of it's time to roll out the web carpet. And yeah, they had a corny description on that one. But it's actually the world premiere of Marvel Spider-Man, their new series.
Okay.
So you actually get a screening of what I presume is a half-hour cartoon.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's kind of cool. They're actually screening it. It's the world premiere sort of thing, so... And then the other big thing on Sunday as a Hall H, not surprisingly, is Supernatural.
Okay.
They're doing a bit of a video presentation and Q&A, and I'm sure they're going to be discussing something about the spinoff. They talk about, you know, they're going to panelists discussing what's next in season 13, but they can't not talk about the spinoff at this point.
Right,
yeah.
And unless they decide to add another panel of just the spinoff.
When is the spinoff supposed to premiere?
Well... See, the thing is, the first episode of season 13 is supposed to be the kind of the backdoor premiere of the spinoff. So I don't know if that means it might be a mid-season sort of thing. Because I'm sure they don't want to be doing
that
at the same
time. Really, you got to set it up that it's actually a series now, but you don't have to introduce people to the characters.
No,
any of that. They've been doing that for years.
No, so the first episode I could see having basically something that, once again, they have to go... they either go to a problem that's happening with Jody's town, or she comes to them, and then there's a couple other girls involved, and that's how they break it off. I mean, it's an easy... I mean,
we set it up at the end of this last season, because what was it, Jody's foster daughter, whatever that... I forget her name.
Yes.
Was big involved in the very end of this season.
Right. Exactly. So. And there's been other episodes with Jody in them that they could have worked as a spinoff right from that episode. Mm-hmm. So at the moment, that's the main part of the panels. There's a couple companies still missing or not, but at this point by the time we post this, it'll be a week and a half out, so
the schedules are already printed at that
point. Yeah, they've got them pretty much set. I mean, there's stuff I didn't mention, but it was more just like general TV shows and stuff that we don't necessarily get involved with. But yeah, so you can find these online really easily. There were a few different blogs that had all of these things listed, like comicbookresources.com and that kind of thing. They'll have them on there, and they'll update them as well. So, and then I think the Nerdist has it as well. So
yeah, because they're usually pretty big there.
Yeah, yeah. Nerdist has a big. They always have like on the floor stuff. They're doing interviews at the time.
The Nerdist is taking the place of what G4 had with their G4 used to do coverage of it. Well, the Nerdist has taken that spot.
That's right.
Because it's mostly the same people.
Yeah, it really is. It is. Yeah.
Everybody that got fired from G4 or left G4 before all went to the Nerdist.
Yeah, right. What's her name? Chobot. She's all over the Nerdist.
Yeah,
now.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So she used to be all G4.
Well, Kevin Hardwick was huge in G4.
Right,
back in
right.
The
they
right.
All,
so,
there's
yeah.
a bunch of them.
Yeah, so he spun off and created something bigger with that. And I mean, we still have another week to go. If there's any big announcements, we'll have them.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah,
but
the
yeah,
people
so
who
far.
Own G4 did such an awesome thing. It was such a big win to switch to the Esquire network.
Right. I used to love G4.
I did too.
Everybody
did.
Was
great.
Yeah. I mean, it was the Cops Network, but they had about 4 hours of really good television
yes,
in there.
Exactly.
When, you know, before,
it's all you needed.
When G4 first started, like, it was.
Wait, what, back at Tech TV?
Yeah, I
no.
Originally, it was
yeah,
Tech TV.
Yeah, right, it was Tech TV. You know, they had. I remember they would show people doing, like, runs on, which one was it? SSX. Because Don loved SSX.
Basically,
yeah.
No. Basically, they started doing stuff that is now Twitch.
Right.
Yeah. Basically, it was all your live game streaming game stuff. And then they
would actually review video games.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what
became X-Play.
Right.
Yep.
And then they had, first and only that I know of, Geek Talk Show.
Yes.
It was basically a talk show, was Attack of the Show.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
And they actually had, they started with a guy and a girl who both actually knew geek stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
Like Olivia Munn, when they brought her in, she wasn't just a pretty face. She was
mm-hmm.
actually one of us.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if you read like her, Vicky has her biography or whatever. It's like you read through some of that stuff. She was a geek way back when she was a
yes.
kid.
Mm-hmm.
She was a huge Wonder Woman fan and stuff.
And that's how we all learned about Olivia Munn before she turned to acting.
Right. And it was I loved that show. Then all of a sudden I started seeing, you know, a couple hours of Cops. And then about four hours
they,
of Cops.
They weren't getting the money they needed to create the shows that the network really
right.
needed.
Yeah. So they would basically run X-Play and Attack of the Show for like 6 and 7. And then they had like 2 primetime shows for every day of the week. And that was it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they thought it was awesome to have a Playboy model just do cartwheels.
Yeah. Someone, you could tell there was a change at some point with the executive producers for Attack of the Show. And they totally changed it. Like, Pereira was still there, but they switched over to someone, these other women that were basically just spokesmodels.
Yeah.
Right.
That's all
yeah.
they were.
They basically put someone in charge who was thinking, oh, it's the geek boys watching this. Let's give them something to watch.
Right.
You know.
And all of a sudden, the network died.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big surprise. Hmm. Look at that.
And they switched it over to the All Men's Network or something, the Esquire. I don't even know what they were showing there anymore.
Esquire shows Parks and Recreation. Let me just tell you, I love the show Parks and Rec. I don't know why it's on Esquire. I don't care. It's somewhere. So
they show that. They show they also show Airwolf.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, and then they also have a show called Knife Fight, which is like their cooking show.
There you go.
There you
okay.
go.
We haven't had cable in so many years.
Yeah.
I don't even know what's available
yeah,
anymore.
It's, some of the channels, they don't make sense for what they show, and other ones are getting better. Like, sci-fi, getting better.
Yeah.
Because it's actually back, you know. Oh, and another thing, Killjoys just started this week.
Yes.
Killjoys
yeah.
just started on Friday. Dark Matters had, what, 3 episodes already?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, sci-fi is, you know, as we talked about before, is getting back to what they should be. I'm hoping that other channels learn from this.
Yeah, learn their spots.
And it's
well, that's
like
I'm sitting there,
what we
you
want.
Hear all these, what AMC's doing with all their shows and stuff. None of this has to do with American movie classics.
No. AMC is not... I mean, the movies that they show every once in a while, maybe they're 5 years old. Like,
yeah.
That's not a classic.
Well, that's... Yeah, AMC is basically doing with where what they were created to do, the where MTV's at now.
Yeah.
Music television, and do they show any videos at all?
That's right. One of their alternate stations shows videos,
yeah.
not
yeah.
actual MTV.
Just like AMC was created to be a classic movie channel.
Yeah.
Like Turner Classic
they,
Movies.
They let Turner have it, basically.
Yeah.
They're just like, Turner can have all the old. I think maybe during the day they show a couple old movies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Well, a lot of them,
but,
they're getting new executives, like new head people in.
Yeah.
And it's changing a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but that's what's coming up for Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm. Which, again, we won't be at, so if you want to report for us.
Exactly. We will hook you up. We'll teach you the tech if you need to learn some tech stuff.
And, hey,
we have all kinds
of
stuff.
If you send us a report, whether it's audio or just written out, I will send you stickers.
Exactly.
Stickers and buttons. I will put them in the mail to you, I promise.
Every cell phone has a voice recorder on there. You can
right?
record a message on your voice recorder and email it to us. If that's all you want to do, or if you just want to, like we said, send us an email, hit us up on Facebook and Twitter. Just let us know what you thought of Comic Con.
If you send us a couple photos, I'll put them on our Instagram.
That's right.
Do a live and tag us.
Exactly.
That's right.
Yeah, do a Facebook Live. We'll spread it around.
Yeah. Tag us somewhere. Yep. Absolutely.
So, and then with that, anybody else got anything else for today? You think?
I think we've covered everything.
Yeah. So, Geeksters, remember, you can always find us anywhere, everywhere on the internet. Search GeekWatch1. All social media, GeekWatch, also go to GeekWatch1.com. If you put GeekWatch1 in a search bar anywhere and you don't come up with us, let us know.
That's
and Dawn will take care of this issue.
Oh, yeah, I'll take care of it.
remember, you email us at GeekWatch1@gmail.com. We are members of the Tangibound and Weebie Geeks Networks at TangiboundNetwork.com and WeebieGeeksPC.com. And then for that, for Kylan and Miss Dawn and Vicky and for myself, just remember,
no matter where you go, there you are.
You're listening to a Weebie Geeks Network podcast.